called Truth Changes Fact. Truth Changes Fact. Now again, the reason we're having these lessons on Saturday morning is because of the new stage that the prayer center has gone into. In spending 2 hours on Sunday night, Tuesday night, Thursday night, and soon to be several mornings, just lending our lips to the Lord Jesus Christ and the authority that He's given us as His body on the earth to speak His mind over our city. Now, the reason we're having these services on Saturday morning is because the enemy is not going to let you do that without opposition. There's two things that the enemy truly fears. One of them is real prayer, and the other is real soul winning. And when you come in here doing what we're doing, you're involved in both. Now, he's going to come against your mind, and with one, he has one purpose and one purpose only, and that's to get us to quit. So what I'm doing on these Saturday mornings, Sue and I have pretty much lived this way for several years. I've already had to battle through a lot of these thought processes. I've been beat out of it before myself. Had to get back into it, go through it again, until it relay that foundation and relay it again until it's in me now. You know, like I tell people, you came too late now to tell me it doesn't work. What I mean by living this way, I mean totally this way. You know, y'all that have heard our, y'all, you that have heard our testimony know that we pretty much exist by the Word of God alone. You know, we had to learn how to operate this way. Now we're ready for the lesson. You ready? Here we go. The most common thing that I hear from people when they begin confessing the Word. Now, right now, we're specifically talking about confessing the Word over Tulsa. But see, this same principle applies in every area of your life. If you don't understand the principle, number one, he'll beat you out of confessing it for Tulsa. But if you don't understand the principle, he's going to beat you out of doing it for your own life. So I was pretty much the same way when I first began confessing the Word. And I mean spending time, scheduling time, just like I schedule time to pray in tongues. I now schedule time on purpose to do nothing but speak God's Word in whatever area of my life needs transformation at the moment. Most of y'all would say, well, Gary, you need to confess all the time because you need lots of transformation. Well, that's probably true. The more time I can give to it, the faster the transformation will be, I'll tell you that. But anyway, it was just, I'm just like you when I first started. How many of y'all does this seem familiar? Brother Gary, when I spend an hour doing nothing but just, I'll just take two or three verses, and I don't do anything but just confess the Word for an hour. I mean, it just doesn't seem like anything is happening. I mean, it's a confession, and that's what it seems like I'm doing something almost pretend. But it's not really the truth. It's not fact. This doesn't seem to be much power to it. I'm not going to embarrass anybody by raising your hand because unless the devil's dead, you've all had that thought. Well, when I was going through this, learning these things, one day I heard the Holy Spirit ask me three questions. You might write these down or get the tape. Now, you need to understand, when the Holy Spirit of God comes and asks you a question, He is not looking for information. Which of you are going to teach Him something? You know, no. When He comes and He asks you a question, it's because He wants your mind to start going down a certain path so that He can teach you more. Well, He asked me these three questions. Number one, what is fact? What is fact? F-A-C-T. Question number two, what is confession? What is confession? That's question number two. Question number three, what is truth? What is truth? Well, you know, I didn't know what else to do. I went to first the American Heritage Dictionary. And it gives three, you know, the definitions of what those three words mean to us today. The American Heritage Dictionary definition for the word fact is, these are short, something presented as objectively real. Something presented as objectively real. Okay? Got that? The definition from the American Heritage Dictionary for the word confession is the act of admitting to something. The act of admitting to something. Then it had a semicolon and the word acknowledgement. Acknowledgement. I'll say the whole definition again. Confession, according to the American Heritage Dictionary, is the act of admitting to something, semicolon, acknowledgement. And then from the same dictionary, the definition of truth is reality, semicolon, actuality. Truth is reality, actuality. So it was interesting that the Holy Spirit would come and ask me these three questions. He says, what is fact, what is confession, and what is truth? Now Jesus himself forever gave us the definition of truth, did he not? What is real, what is actual, when he said in John 17:17, Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Got that? So according, you couple that up with the American Heritage Dictionary, and you could put it this way, the word of God is reality. The word of God is actuality. Well, that sounds good, Brother Gary. That doesn't wash any of my dishes. So what's the point? Well, that's why we're here, isn't it? Okay. So what is real, what is actual, what is truth, is what the Word of God says about you or about any situation you're involved in. According to Jesus, Father, thy Word is truth. So thy Word is the reality. Thy Word is the actuality concerning you, what it says about you, or any situation that you come up against. Okay? Now, your confession, the dictionary said confession is the act of admitting to something, or acknowledgement. So your confession is simply admitting to the real truth, which would be what? The Word of God. Okay? So confession is acknowledging the truth. 2 Timothy 2, verses 25 and 26 says that we are in meekness instruct those that oppose themselves. If God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Now, what would that be? Acknowledging of God's Word. And if we can get them to start acknowledging by confessing God's Word, then the rest of the verse says that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Why are they being taken captive by him at his will? Because presently they're not confessing the truth. What do y'all suppose they are confessing? Fact. They're confessing fact. Okay? Now this will be more clear to you as we go along. And in the verse we talked about last week or the week before, which is Philemon verse 6, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual. Now, effectual means it's working for you. Everyone say, working for me.
Working for me.
Say, I want my faith,
I want my faith
to be effectual.
I
want it to have an effect. Okay, so you can stop confessing. And the way you do that, according to that verse, is by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. You start confessing the truth. Let me ask y'all, is he in you? Are you born again? Then according to the Word of God, he's in you. So why is it the next time you say, well, I just can't seem to do this thing or that thing? You're acknowledging some kind of fact. You're not acknowledging the truth. The truth is, I can do all things through Christ, the Anointed One, who strengthens me, see? We don't realize how often we're confessing fact instead of truth. The name of the lesson. The name of the lesson is truth changes fact. Hallelujah. Satan, through the physical senses, is always presenting facts to us. That which is presented, now he presents them as being objectively real. Remember the definition of fact? Something presented as objectively real. So he'll present something as a fact to you that sure seem real. But fact is not necessarily truth. As long as our confession is acknowledging the present tense facts in our lives, we will be held captive by the devil at his will. See, that's the nature of the flesh. Say it like it is. Y'all were all raised with that, weren't you? Tell it like it is. Bless God, you know, tell it like it is, you know. Remember that sports announcer, I can't think of his name, that was his, I tell it like it is, you know. Well, and when it comes to spiritual things, you tell it like it is and you'll be sick next time I see you. You keep telling it like it is if your situation is poverty and you'll be broke next time I see you. And you keep telling it like it is and speaking facts, if you're depressed, you'll be depressed next time I see you. And the sad part is God himself cannot help you. Cannot. I didn't say he wouldn't. I said he cannot. I'm leaving the paper here for a minute, but that's all right. Pastor Dave and I were talking one day, which that doesn't happen very often. We were talking one day, and I was telling him about something that the Lord had shown me. How many of you know the Bible says, God says about himself, I change not. Neither will I alter the thing which has gone forth out of my mouth. And one day I was thinking about, my mind was going along these lines, thinking about truth, you know. And the fact that Jesus said, Father, thy word is truth. And I got to thinking about the spirit of truth and all of that kind of rolling around, praying in those other tongues. That's dangerous, you know. Like Dave says, you keep doing that, and pretty soon you won't be any good to the devil at all, you know. But I was just letting the Holy Spirit teach me. And all of a sudden this dawned on me. Do you know why it is that God cannot lie? Now think about it. We've taught on this at length. You go back to Genesis, whatever God said, the Holy Spirit did. Light be, and light was. And it starts off by telling us it was the Holy Spirit that was hovering over the face of the water. So he's the one that changed the molecules, changed the ionization, did whatever was necessary to go from darkness to light. So whatever God said, the Spirit of truth did. Now, think about this. God cannot lie. Well, why is that? Well, whatever he says, instantly, the Holy Spirit makes it truth. Let's take a ridiculous example. Is grass green? For the most part, yeah, right? Grass is green. The way God set it up in, you know, this everything, grass is green. You normally expect you plant grass. You don't expect it to come up red or polka dotted or striped. Well, some of it's striped. But anyway, you know, we normally expect green, right? Now, what if God says, I changed my mind? From this day forward, I decree grass is blue. Now, you know what would happen? The Holy Spirit would instantly change grass to blue. Now, God didn't lie. Whatever he says is truth. And the Holy Spirit, he makes it truth. Now, that's why God gave us his guarantee. He said, I'm only going to say these things once. I'm going to give you the truth. Now, he says, I'm sovereign. I could do this any way I want to. But so you guys can have faith. Here's the covenant I make with you. I'm going to give you the truth. Then I'm not going to alter the thing which has come forth out of my mouth. Now, the whole purpose of that is so that we can take this word and find out the truth and know it'll never change. By His stripes you were healed. By His stripes you are healed. And by His stripes you will be forever healed. That is the truth. It never changes. Don't care what the facts look like. Because truth, if you'll hang on to the truth, will change the fact. That's why God never changes, so we can have faith. What if the laws of electricity changed every day? How many of y'all turned on your television set something now? Okay, I know people in church don't watch TV. Let's say you got the weather. Let's say one day this week you turned on your TV to get the weather, you know. Okay. Hallelujah. Now, you're used to going over there with either a remote control or pressing a knob on your television, and all kinds of electronic calculations are going on within your TV set. Transformers and resistors and all kinds of things are going into motion, and they operate according to the laws of electricity, and sure enough, you get a picture, an image on your screen, don't you? Now, tomorrow when you go in and you want to see pictures on your television, do you go in and slap it upside on the side rather than press the button? No, you do the same thing again, don't you? Why? Because the laws of electricity do not change. If you go up to the top of this building, and it's pretty tall, and you say, I think the law of gravity changed yesterday. I'm just pretty sure it did. I'm going to jump off of this building, and I don't think the law of gravity is like it was yesterday. I believe I'll just float in the air. Glory to God. Now, how many of y'all believe that's going to happen? You go up here, you step off the building, we're going to hear a big thud and moaning for help. Isn't that right? Why? Gravity doesn't change. But did you know there's a law that will overcome gravity? I heard Kenneth Copeland teach us one day. The law of lift. Y'all have heard that. You get in an airplane. Now, did the law of gravity change? No. You apply a higher law, don't you? The law of lift. And gravity holds you down no more. Well, all those facts that are present in your life, and all of the facts right now that you could see driving around Tulsa with right now there is no revival, I got news for y'all. Y'all, here we go again. I am from Pottawatomie County, Oklahoma. I got news for y'all. We got a higher law. We have the truth that will change all of those facts. But it's never going to happen for you, and it's never going to happen for Tulsa until God can get a bunch of people that will acknowledge the truth by confessing it out of their mouth. Is that good stuff or what? And the truth never changes. We can rely on God because He has sworn by Himself, I have given you the truth. I will not alter the thing that's gone out of my mouth. We can depend on Him. He sovereignly chose to set it that way so that we could always depend on Him in the same way that you depend on electricity to operate the same way every time. If the laws of electricity changed every day, we'd never be able to use it, would we? We'd never be able to tap into the power of electricity if the laws governing it changed every day. Well, see, we'd never be able to know God. We'd never be able to tap into His power if He changed every day. How would you know? And that's why He sovereignly, for our sakes, on purpose, set it up. I'm giving you the truth. I'm telling you, I will not alter the thing that's gone forth out of my mouth. Basically, He's saying, you can depend on my word. It'll never change. That's why Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away. My words will never pass away. Hallelujah. Where's Andy when I need him? Glory to God. Take a lap, you know. Hallelujah. Getting back to the lesson at hand here, I'll say this again. It's only when we repent and begin acknowledging the truth, what God's word says about us, and our confession lines up with the real truth, that we begin to recover ourselves out of the snare of the devil, who's been holding us captive by our factual confession up to this point. You with me? Now, in the epistle to Philemon, Paul says that it's only when we begin acknowledging, and you could say, remember that even the American Heritage Dictionary says that confession is the act of admitting to something, semicolon, acknowledgement. Confession and acknowledgement go hand in hand. Again, how do you acknowledge anything? I acknowledge that that is my daughter, Erin. I acknowledge that's our friend, John. I acknowledge this is Daisy Black. You acknowledge anything by declaring it to be so. Isn't that right? Okay, now going back to Philemon, he says, when we begin acknowledging, confessing every good thing that is within us in Christ Jesus, that's when our lifestyle of faith begins to work for us, becomes effectual. Our confession must not be simply statements of fact, but must acknowledge the truth. Now you ought to write this next sentence down. This will save you years if you get a hold of this. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is on truth, not fact. Boy, if you ever, you know, this sentence is worth the price of admission, which I say that every week for benefit of the tape. It's free. But this sentence alone, if you can get this right here, if you walk away with nothing but this, it was worth your coming. I'll say it again. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is on truth, not fact. Hallelujah. Confession based on fact instead of truth is what God calls an evil report. Yeah, hallelujah. Oh, all over the congregation here. Well, it is. Some people are so proud of saying, they're proud of being honest. And what they mean by that is, I bless God, I tell it like it is now. You're not getting me down there with that flaky bunch calling Tulsa saved. Oh, Tulsa's not saved, and I know it isn't saved. You can just drive around town here. Anybody can see it's not saved. That's the facts. We're not here to confess facts. We're here to confess the truth. You with me? The anointing of the Holy Spirit is on truth and not fact. And if you're going to always be confessing fact, that's what God calls an evil report. Now, everyone has heard this story a lot of times. Buckle up, you're about to hear it again. You can turn here if you want to, or you can just listen. It's Numbers chapter 13, verses 32 and 33. And just in case there's someone here that hasn't heard it, after God had delivered Moses and the people of Israel out of Egypt, and they had crossed the Red Sea, they'd made their way to the Promised Land, and now they sent in 12 spies to spy out the land. And they went over to spy out the land, and now they've come back to tell the people what they found. Now, it's interesting that they brought back a cluster of grapes, one cluster of grapes that was so big one man couldn't carry it. They had to tie it on a pole and carry it up between the shoulders on this pole of two men. I mean, I have never seen a cluster of grapes like that, have you? But now, if the Bible says that's what it was, bless God, that's what it was. I mean, now, if you had to be watching, waiting for these guys to come back to give the report, you know. Man, the first thing you see is these guys with that cluster of grapes between them. You're expecting a good report, aren't you? Man, look at there. Look at that cluster of grapes. God wasn't kidding. This is a land that flows with milk and honey. Wouldn't you be thinking that? But then these flakes get there, and 10 of the 12, they give a report based on fact. And that's where we're picking it up. Numbers 13, starting in verse 32. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw giants, the sons of Anak. I mean, right? It's almost repetitive to say this again. Not just giants. These aren't just giants. These aren't just big. I'm telling you, they're the sons of Anak. The sons of Anak. And, you know, apparently everybody, to them, that was, woo. Them's the baddest boys in town, you know. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so were we in their sight. And you know their story. I mean, the people believed it, didn't they? People that aren't transformed by the Word of God. You got to remember, the whole world is programmed negative. You have to work at thinking positive. It takes work to believe God. Hallelujah. But anyway, all the people, boy, they just gave up right there. They just agreed with the report. Now, let's look at this report in detail. Because sometimes we don't catch this part. Have you ever noticed that everything except for the last line was factual? Fact. Number one, this land eateth up the inhabitants thereof. They weren't kidding. Two, all of the people in the land were of great stature. Three, there were giants in the land. And they were the sons of Anak. I mean, this is a factual report. Everything they've said to them, except for their conclusion, was fact. Based upon fact, now, they made the following confession. This was their confession. This was their report. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Now, their conclusion was that they were not able to possess the land because they based their confession on fact instead of truth. What had God already said? I have given you the land. Fear not. Fear not. Isn't that what he had told them? That's the truth. These guys came back totally transformed to fact. That which had been presented as objectively real. What they see, what they saw, what they heard, everything over there, the five senses, that became fact. I mean, that was the facts presented to them. You don't hear them say one thing about God's promise anymore. And boy, a lot of Christians are just like that. You come here and you hear me or Pastor Dave or anybody teach the truth of God's Word, and what's that old deal? We're here to pump you up, you know. Well, we are in your spirit, man. Build you up, you know. And you come out of here, bless God, we're all one of those devils, you know. But then, you know, you have a car accident, or you get behind on your bills, or somebody talks ugly to you, you know, and tells you that you're ugly, and your mother dresses you funny, and or whatever it is, you know. I mean, you start getting overwhelmed by facts. Pretty soon, we don't hear the report of God coming out of your mouth anymore. You've been transformed now to what you've been taken captive by the devil at his will. See, and that'll happen every time if you lose your confession of the truth. Did you notice what God said about these guys? They brought up an evil report. Notice that again, Numbers 13. Every time you come to me and you start telling me how bad your circumstances are, now I love you, but I want you to understand, that's an evil report. God has no power. God hasn't made any promises to you. The Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is for everybody but you. What are you telling me? And I'll be as nice to you as I can. But my whole job is to get you out of that mess. And when you leave me, be confessing God's Word. I want you may come with an evil report, But my job is to have you leave with a good report in your mouth. How serious does God count this? Well, those of you that have your Bible open, you can turn there. It's Numbers 14:37. I'll just read it to you. Even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. Well, God loves me. It doesn't matter what I say, Brother Gary. You know, I mean, God loves me. He'll give me the land anyway. It doesn't matter what I say. I mean, He knows how I am. I'm just not strong, Brother Gary. I'm just weak, you know. And He'll give me the land anyway, won't He, Brother Gary? No, He won't. Just like all these people that gave the report, the evil report, they died. And all the people that believed them, they died. God's going to let you die. I'm going to tell you again, I'll keep telling you until you get it. God works in the earth one way and not two. He works with words. You either put His word in your mouth and begin saying it, or we'll just start preparing the flowers for your funeral. And He'll love you and be holding out His hand of blessing to you and be sending preachers like me, sending everybody to you, trying to change your confession, trying to get your mouth in agreement with Him right up until you take your last breath. But He cannot alter what has already come out of His mouth. My job is to go preach the gospel to you. If I can get you to believe it, you'll be delivered. The word there is sozo. It doesn't just mean born again. It means delivered out of whatever situation you're in. And if you don't believe it, you will be damned. What that means, it doesn't mean necessarily go to hell. It means you are not going to get the promise of God in your life. You're going to perish just like these guys. Doesn't God love me? Yes. That's why He gave you the truth and preachers like me. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of them that bring good news. It's good news because every one of you can have all the blessings of God you want. God's got lots of blessings. He's hoping you get some of them. And all you have to do is quit putting the facts in your mouth and put the truth in your mouth. If you do it long enough, trust me, it won't start, you know, that we started off saying, well, it doesn't seem very powerful to me. Did God's word seem very powerful to these 10 guys? No. They took His word and stacked it up against these giants and said, these giants are God. Now, basically, that's what they were doing. That's why they had to die. They're going to pollute the whole nation. Most of you, and I'm saying this real nice, most of you look at your circumstances and think they're God. Well, it's the truth. Gary, confession just doesn't work for me. I've been doing this, Brother Gary. I've been confessing the word, and I've been saying it and saying it and saying it. Really, Brother Gary, I have been, and I've been saying God's word, and really honest I have. And you know, Brother Gary, though, you know, that confession stuff, I've been doing it, but you know, just doesn't work for me. And I see the first thing I have to do in love is say, repent for lying. Because it'll work for you or God's going to have to fall off the throne. Now, I know what you normally mean by that. Well, Brother Gary, I confess that my God supplies all of my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I did it, Gary. I did it. I did it 2 days. Let's see now. I'm 50 years old, so I've been programmed by the devil. I've lived in the devil's world for 50 years. my mind's been programmed by a lot of my friends dying of cancer and all kinds of bad things, and I've seen market crashes, and I've seen people go broke, and I've seen car accidents, and my mind has been programmed for 50 years. And all of a sudden now, you start putting the Word of God, the truth, in your mouth, and expect to be reprogrammed in 2 days, 2 weeks. It takes some time. Remember last week we used the example of a dam, like Keystone Dam? I remember when they were building that thing. Then they got it built, and it took a while of rainy seasons, you know, for that reservoir to fill. It didn't fill the very first day. There's gates in that dam that the way those are designed is you open the gate, the water comes pouring through there, that water turns the turbines, which generates the electricity. So let's say the very first day that they got their dam built, somebody goes over and are you ready for electricity? They call Tulsa. You're ready to receive electricity? We're ready on this end. Send it on down the line. All right, we're going to open the gates. Boom, they hit the switch. They open the gates, and there's no power. Well, something's wrong with this gate. Something's wrong with this whole damn thing. It must be something wrong with this whole damn thing. Oh, well, DAM, this whole damn construction here. There's something wrong with it. DAM. And God help me. So you go, well, maybe there's something wrong with the reservoir. You know, they go around and look behind the dam. Oh, I see what the problem is. The water level is not high enough yet to come through the gate. Now, we talked last week, what is the gate? It's your tongue. The gate is your tongue. The reservoir is your heart. Now, in the same way that you have to get the water level high enough behind a dam so that when you open the gates, there's enough water level to come rushing through the gates to generate the power. Jesus said it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaketh. Of course it seems powerless when you start. You think your reservoir is full of the Word of God? See, that's why when Dave was teaching on those saltwater wells, James talks about, you know, really, it's not possible that sweet water and salt water come forth from the same tongue, but yet it seems to, doesn't it? See, here's the thing. We keep thinking the tongue is the problem. Well, in a way it is. But see, the tongue is just like that water fountain out in the lobby. If that water fountain started delivering, you know, next time you took a drink out of it, it was salt water, you wouldn't think there's something wrong with the fountain. Man, something's wrong with Mohawk out here. Something's wrong with the lake where we get our water from. See, because in the same way that the fountain only delivers what's in the reservoir, your tongue only delivers what's in your heart in abundance when the pressure's on. Now, your tongue can speak out of the mind all the time, and people think that's faith. You know, you'll hear somebody saying the right thing, saying the right thing, you know. But we can't look on the inside of their heart and tell if that's coming from their heart out of an abundance or if they're just speaking it out of their mind. I mean, the first 5 minutes that you started, if I walked in and I met this brother here and I heard him walking the floor in here and confessing, by your stripes I was healed, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that by the stripes of Jesus I was healed. Now, I wouldn't have any way of knowing if he'd been doing that 5 minutes or 5 years, would I? I can't tell if that's coming out of his mind or out of his heart. See, now he may have only been doing it 5 minutes. And then 2 minutes later, I see him die. I come over and I say, well, this confession stuff don't work. Yeah, it does. See, he had just started the process of filling his reservoir, you know, so that eventually he gets it in his heart in abundance. So that now when he speaks, bless God, by his stripes I was healed, it's coming with power. It's just like the water rushing through the gates of that dam now. It's coming from a reservoir full of power. It's not coming out of his mind. Faith doesn't work out of the mind. It works out of the heart. Is that good stuff or what? So, of course, confession seems powerless when you start. You're not even operating in power yet. You're filling your reservoir. And the whole idea is to get your reservoir full in abundance. Eventually, the day is going to come. You open your mouth, You speak to the mountain just like Jesus said, cancer, get out of my body. And it'll go. It'll recognize, whoa, this time the Holy Spirit is enforcing your words because it came out of your heart with power. And that cancer will go, wow, and run off. Hallelujah, it will too. I heard Jesse Duplantis talking about his mother. She got healed of cancer twice. Two different times by her own faith using these very methods we're talking about. Now he says, my mama weighed over 300 pounds. Always did. So when she walked, and he used his hands like this where her hips are real wide, you know. So when she walked, everything moved all at once, you know. He said, now my daddy, he liked that. He'd follow right behind her. Yeah, it's all mine, you know. He liked that, you know. But anyway, she got cancer really bad and got down to like 100 pounds. 100 pounds, I mean, she was just near death. She used these very principles we're talking about today, walking the floor, confessing the word, Jesus, I know the truth. Now, what were the facts? The doctors had given her the facts. She had cancer, terminal, no hope for her. She had to die. There's your facts. They gave me a report like that one time. You've got melanoma cancer. We're going to send you to MD Anderson Hospital in Houston with the very best medical advice or better, very best medical attention we can give you, son. If everything goes perfect, we give you less than a 40% chance of living more than 6 months. Our advice to you is to get your house in order. Okay? I understand facts. Now, what did Jesse's mother do? She put the word of God in her mouth. Jesus, your word says that by your stripes I was healed. Cancer, I'm talking to you. You get out of my body. I am telling you. I'm not giving you a choice. By the stripes of Jesus I was healed. He is the Lord my God who forgives all my iniquities and heals all my diseases. And I'm calling myself healed. Cancer, you get out of my body. Did it happen the first 5 minutes? No. Day after day after day. I mean, if she went from 300 pounds to 100 pounds, you know this took a while. Okay? But it did turn. You know what Jesse said when she got healed? Within 6 months, she was 300 pounds again. Went right back up again. You know, it's just interesting. But you could tell that health was back in her body, see? She's back up to 300 pounds, and here's Daddy following around. Hallelujah, you know. It's all mine. Hallelujah. And then several years later, doggone if that cancer didn't attack her again. And I think he said she got down to 80 pounds this time. And looked really, you know, it looked even worse than the time before. Same thing again. Walk the floor, confess the truth. Never yield her mouth to the facts, but only let the truth come out of her mouth. Confessing God's word, confessing God's word. God healed again, shot right back up over 300 pounds. Isn't that something? Now, going back. Sorry, that was a... Do y'all like that? That was a rabbit trail. Anyway, I like that. That just blessed me. It'll work every time. But if you ever get your mouth... I won't say ever. If you get your mouth continually confessing the facts, that which has been presented to you as apparent truth, and you get your mouth in line with that, then you have what you say. And you'll have fact instead of truth. Okay, getting back to these guys who gave the evil report. Okay, we read the fact. I mean, Numbers 14:37 again. Even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. Do you think he counts it serious, what we say? Joshua and Caleb were two of those men, you know, two of the 12. Now, they both saw everything that the other 10 saw. They saw the giants. They saw the sons of Anak. They saw exactly the same things that the 10 saw. But they had a different report. Their report was based on truth, God's word, not fact, which is apparent circumstances. And we're going to read now from Numbers chapter 14, starting in verse 6. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of that guy, Jephune, which were of them that searched the land, they rent their clothes when they heard this evil report, see. And they spake. Now let's see what they speak, these two guys. They spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord. Now get this. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Now every circumstance you come up against the rest of your life, whatever evil report it is, whatever it looks like, every good and perfect gift coming down from the Father of lights, and the thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. If it's bad, the devil sent it. Get that straight first off. But his defense has departed from him, and the Lord is with you. And if you'll speak the truth of God's word, the facts will have to yield to the truth, and you will possess the land. Hallelujah. I see writing going on. And now, it's important to notice this. Did you ever think about this? Okay, we had the 12 spies. We had 10 of them with an evil report. We had 2 of them with a good report. Now, did you ever think about this? Both groups got what they said. See, most people are still under the false impression that the whole thing about the faith movement, you know, you can have what you say. See, when they hear it like that, what they think is, well, if I choose to activate that law. In other words, it's almost like, well, if I don't choose to believe that, then I'm not getting what I say. Honey, you're already getting what you say. That's a law of the Spirit that cannot be changed. And where you are, now this will scare you, where you are today in every circumstance of your life is the product of all your speaking from yesterday's. Well, it is. Notice this. Both groups got exactly what they said. Those confessing the facts, they said they could not possess the land. Did they? A little louder for the tape. Did they?
No.
No. They said they couldn't, and they didn't. The people that heard the report, if I'd have written it out, the people that heard that evil report, their thing went something like this. We knew it. God isn't good after all. He only brought us out of Egypt so that we could perish in this land. Would to God that we had perished in Egypt, or that we perished here. Oh, our poor little children. God doesn't even have mercy on them. What a thing to say. Don't ever talk like that to God. They got exactly what they said. They perished in the wilderness. But now God says concerning your children, I'm going to raise them up myself, and they are going to take the land. But all those people that put in their mouth and said, oh, would to God that we perished in Egypt, or would to God we perished here, they perished right there. They got what they said. Okay? Those confessing the facts said they could not possess the land, and they did not. Those confessing the truth of God's word, that's Joshua and Caleb, said that they could possess the land, and they did. They did. They possessed it. That was 40 years later. See, the other people's belief or unbelief has an effect. That's in a congregation, in a church. That's why we're all trying to get together to do what? Remember last week's lesson? Speak the same thing. And the more people we can get doing that, the faster the move of God that we're asking for is going to come. Okay? Because, you know, as long as you've got the... Well, let me put it this way. Did those people's unbelief have an effect on Joshua and Caleb? Delayed it 40 years. Yeah, delayed it 40 years. Now, you can't stop a faith man from getting what he says. I'm telling you right now. You might be able to slow him down, but you can't stop him. Or a faith woman. Anyone that will hold to God's word and will not waver, you will get what you say. Now, if it's a corporate thing like what we're doing here, then it'll slow things down if we have people in direct opposition to it. Our job is to convert as many of them as we can to speak in the same thing, and I believe if they don't eventually do that, they won't be here. Because God's going to have his revival. We won't put them out. God will take them out. I'm not saying he'll kill them, he'll just move them somewhere else. Anyway, those confessing the truth of God's word said that they could possess the land, and they did. Joshua and Caleb confessed truth, not fact. Can you see that? Joshua and Caleb eventually possessed the land. Amen? You have what you say. Can you see that both groups got what they said? Speak the truth. Speak God's word. Truth changes fact. Now here's the way Sue and I counsel all the time. I don't know any other way to do it. When people come, they're honest, they're speaking. I'm not saying they're not. And they come and normally they tell us their problems. Sometimes it takes several written pages. But what they're doing, and it's bad. I'm not saying it's not bad. They may have whole lists of problems, and what they're doing is giving us the facts. Well, that's okay. You know, we're not into Christian Science. We don't deny the facts. I mean, the facts are there. Were the giants in the land? Absolutely they were in the land. You don't deny the facts. But here's the way we counsel. We say, okay, for every one of these facts, we're going to get a truth. You go to God's word and you find a promise of the truth that covers that fact. That's how you do it. If it's a healing you need, you go to God's word and you find scriptures to cover that case. I am the God that healeth thee. I will bless thy food and water and take sickness away from the midst of thee. I forgive all your iniquities and heal all your diseases. And by his stripes ye were healed. Now you've got a choice. Continue confessing the facts, which would be your symptoms and your pain and the doctor's report, or start speaking the truth. And if you keep speaking the truth, that's what the Holy Spirit anoints. And eventually, that higher law of God's truth will overcome your present facts. Does that seem simple enough to you? Well, it seems simple in here. Wait till you try it. Because those facts are so daily. They don't change overnight. You have to keep that. This is where that faith and patience part comes in. Patience. See, faith is the part that says, okay, God's word, I believe God's word. But patience is the part where you stay the same every day, every day. It's a shame that our modern concept of patience is so different from the Greek. See, our idea of patience is sit down and wait and do nothing until something changes. If you do that, you'll die, honey. That's not faith and patience. Patience is like Joshua and Caleb. They stayed the same. For 40 years, they stayed the same. You could have asked them at year 29, can we possess the land? What do you think Caleb would have said? We're well able to take it. Let us go up at once and possess it. You think he changed at year 29? What about year 35? What about year 39 and a half? We're well able to take it if God be for us. This people are bred for us. Let us go up at once and possess it. Do y'all know when he was 80 and they were in the promised land, he came up to Joshua and he says, this is my 80th birthday and I'm as strong today as I was 40 years ago. Don't give me one of these easy little plains over here to possess. I'll take that mountain right over there. Thank you very much. And he did too. You sound to you like he changed? That's what patience is. It's steadfastly the same every day, every day, every day, every day. Hallelujah. Until you get it. Faith does not wear a watch. He's holding up a bare wrist over here. Well, now I wear a watch, but my faith doesn't depend on it. Hallelujah. Faith is what? Faith is always now. Faith doesn't wear a watch, and I like this third one. Faith has a voice. And if you're not speaking God's Word, you're not even into faith yet. You're in the world of wondering if God will ever do it for you. Until you get God's Word coming out of your mouth, you've not even started on the path of faith yet. Now, when you start on the path and you do it every day, every day, every day, every day, now you've started the patience part. How long, Brother Gary? I always say 10,000 years. Because if you set off with that in mind, it won't be very long till you get it. You don't try faith. Trying faith will never work for you. I'm going to come to these meetings and I'm going to start confessing the Word for 2 weeks. Or a month or whatever you think, you know. And if it doesn't work in 2 weeks or a month, then I'm going to quit it. Well, you might as well go do something else because it's not going to work for you. You need to understand that. That's not faith. That's not even faith. Faith acknowledges that God's Word once and for all was settled 2,000 years ago when Jesus hung on that cross and He bore your sin, He bore your sicknesses, and He bore your poverty. And you agree that that's the truth for eternity and you get your mouth in line with that. And you make the decision, nothing else is ever going to come out of my mouth but the truth of what Jesus did for me. I am healed. I am saved. I am prospered. My God supplies all of my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. How long are you going to say that, Brother Gary? Till I die. I'll be saying that when my bank account has millions in it, and I'll be saying that if I've got 2 cents in there. It won't make a lick of difference. So, well, if you get to saying that, nothing bad's ever going to happen to you financially, right? Isn't that right, Brother Gary? Well, did the devil die? You know, no, he usually comes back to try you again. Says he left Jesus for a more opportune time. He'll be back. Try you again. See if you'll go for facts this time around. Well, they whooped me the last time. Let's see. They've had it pretty easy for a couple of years. They haven't been going to church quite as much as they used to. They sure haven't been playing that Gary Carpenter's tapes as often. Maybe I can get in there and get them to agreeing with facts. And all of a sudden these apparent circumstances come and he watches your mouth. And the Holy Spirit's watching your mouth too. Because the only thing he can anoint and add God's power to is the amount of word coming out of your mouth. And if he doesn't hear it, he doesn't have anything he can do for you. God, again, the Holy Spirit anoints truth, not fact. Say that after me. The Holy Spirit, anoints truth, not fact. You got that? All right. Hallelujah. Okay. Well, I see. We did that. All right. We're going to leave that example for a minute. Have y'all got that about the spies? Real quickly here, we're at one of Dave's millennial minutes. We're going to look at two other examples. Another example of the same truth would be the promise to Abram and Sarai regarding their giving birth to Isaac in their old age. What were the facts that Abram and Sarai faced? Number one, here's a fact. Sarai had always been barren, even when she was young. That's a fact. Fact number two, Sarai was now past menopause. Her body was not even making eggs anymore. Okay? That's a pretty difficult fact when you're believing to be pregnant. Wouldn't you say? Three, Abram's body was now, quote, dead as far as his ability to produce children anymore. Y'all remember from Romans? Abraham considered not his own body now dead. Well, it wasn't physically dead. What's it talking about? He wasn't able to produce children anymore past that time. All right? Was that a fact? Absolutely. And then here's another fact. Time was not on their side. How long had they had this promise from God? 25 years. But Brother Gary, I went down there. I'm telling you, I did. I confessed the word for 2 weeks, Brother Gary. 25 years. Time was not on their side. They'd received this promise 25 years ago, and they still had not one speck of evidence that it would ever come to pass. Okay, now that was the facts. Now, I wanted to get really real. See, who can I pick on? I'll pick on Sue. She loves me. Okay, God says, now, we void this. Sue and I are not believing for more children. Hallelujah. Look at this. Hallelujah. But now at this age now, past menopause, you know, and God comes and says, well, you're going to have a baby. Now, your mind would go, well, now, of course, now Sue wasn't barren. She had children, but let's say she never had. But I've never had a child. And besides that, now I'm past menopause. And God says, what are you talking to me about? What are you saying? What is that? Well, Jesus, those are the facts. Jesus, those are the facts. Lord, I'm trying to correct you. I can't have a baby. Don't you see the facts, Jesus? Do y'all realize that's what we do all the time? God comes and he says, I'm going to pick on Donna now. Donna, I've come to let you know something. By the poverty of Jesus Christ, you're rich. You're fabulously wealthy in his name. Now, Donna would probably just say, be it unto me according to thy word. Hallelujah. She'd be like Mary. Glory to God. But now most people, they'd say, well, just a minute, and go over and get her checkbook and bring it back and show it to the Lord, and it's got $8.92 in it. And you say, Lord, I appreciate you telling me that, but I need to show you the facts. I mean, Lord, I have $8.92 in my checking account, and do you realize my monthly service fee is $10? I appreciate you telling me that, Lord, but I just wanted to make sure that you were aware of the facts. God, we do that to him all the time, Fred. We do it to him all the time. He comes and he says, I want you to sow into this certain thing. I'm doing this in this work in the earth, and I want you to give, if he had $8.32 or 92 cents, I want you to give $8 into it. Now remember, I've made you rich. $8? Lord, didn't you see that I have $8.92? 92 cents is what you want for me to have left, Lord? You know? I can't do... Based on the facts, Jesus, I can't do that. And if you have that attitude, you'll never possess the riches. Our whole mindset has to get off the facts and onto the truth. Now, which is it? Which is true in your life? Your checkbook or 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9? Go ahead and turn there. To me, that's bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This is one of those that the Lord had me confess 4 hours a day when it certainly looked like we were going to go under financially. 4 hours a day, every day, every day, every day, for weeks and then for months, until it started working for us. Until my word level got high enough that when I opened my mouth, power came out. Because it wasn't any longer coming out of my head, it was coming out of the reservoir of my heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Just say it with me. For I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ.
That though he was rich,
yet for my sake, I said for my sake,
I said for my sake,
he became poor,
that I,
through his poverty,
might be rich.
Now who's lying, that verse or your checkbook? Now see, if you quote that verse and start, again, it's just like taking a bucket and start filling up your reservoir with water. Every time you speak it, you're putting more water in that reservoir behind the dam. Well, every time you say this verse, every time you say it at first, no, there's no power coming out. No, you're right. It seems powerless. It is powerless. Because what you're doing, you're filling the reservoir. But that reservoir is getting fuller. Your word level is getting higher. It's getting in your heart in more abundance. And I still remember when everything on the inside of me started changing. Almost 50 years of living on the planet. And bless God, if I got any money, most of the time I had to go get it the world's way, you know. But then it started dawning on me, now wait a minute. God's called me to a work that he's not going to finance? God's called me to do something for him that he's not going to send the money for me to get it done? See, my whole thinking started changing. Well, that doesn't even make good sense. And then I started understanding what this is really saying. It's not based on anything I've done. It's all based on what Jesus did. He's the one that bore my poverty on that cross. The poverty I deserved as a sinner. The curse I deserved as one cut off from God. He bore my poverty and then turned right around. The whole purpose was so I could have access to his riches. Well, how much of the riches of God do you think Jesus has access to? All of it. There is nothing God can ask me to do on this earth for him that I don't have access to everything I need to get it done. I told him down in Houston when we preached down there, I said, if God was to tell me to blanket this city with cassette tapes, and there's about 3 million people lives there, and he wants me to send a cassette tape of one of these teachings to every address in Houston, I'm telling you right now, I can afford to do it. And then I'd say, well, do you have that much money in the bank? Well, not the one you're talking about. But see, you don't understand. I have access to all the riches that belong to Jesus Christ. He took my poverty so I could walk into his vault. And anything in there that I need, it's free by grace. I just get it, and I come back to earth with it, if you want to look at it that way, from the spirit to the material realm, and I can do it. I've got it. I ask, I believe I receive when I pray, and I shall have it. Well, what would you really do, Brother Gary, if you didn't have that kind of money? I'd start making tapes. Rejoicing and thanking God that he supplies all of my tapes according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The young lions do hunger and suffer lack, but as long as I seek the Lord, I'll never lack any tapes or anything else that I need to get done what he asked me to get done. Would you be able to do it? Oh, yeah. And it'd be easy. See, that's called entering into rest. I believe in making it real easy on Gary and real hard on God. And he likes that. That's what fun does God get to have? He gets to be God. I mean, if you were God and nobody ever gave you an opportunity to be God, say, well, God, we'll just let you do little easy stuff. We don't want to give you any challenges, you know. God doesn't even think that way. When he was preparing Gideon to go in and conquer this massive enemy, yeah, you got too many men with you. They'll be saying it's your strength, God says. I want them knowing it's me. That's too many men. Get rid of some of them. We're going along, God's looking at it. Still too many men. Nope. Whittled them down to just a tiny few, and God says, now they'll know it's me. That's what God likes. I keep telling y'all, the reason he picked Sue and I, you know, one reason he picked us anyway,
is because we are so outstandingly ordinary. I mean, there's just nothing special about us at all. Just ordinary folks, you know. Dear God, we probably got more faults than most of you guys in the natural. If He does anything for us, trust me, He'll do it for you. We're hallelujah. All He's asking you to do is follow the same path He put us on, and that's called get His Word in your mouth. Pray in other tongues, just like Pastor Dave says. And then do whatever the Holy, and then whatever the Lord says to you, do it. And that'll prosper. Okay, just a few minutes. I want to wrap this up. Y'all having a good time? Oh, you'd say that anyway. Because you're so nice. Oh, it's the truth. Okay, hallelujah. Okay, the facts for Abram and Sarai. Okay, she was barren, or had always been. She was now past menopause. Abraham's body was now past the age of bearing children, and time was not on their side. Agreed? Bad facts. Now, what was God's solution to that dilemma? He changed their name so that every time they spoke, they were speaking the truth. Every time Abram spoke now his name is Abraham, and every time he said, I am Abraham, that means in the Hebrew tongue, I am the father of many nations. Every time Sarai said the name Sarah, Sarah means princess. Princess. Not queen. Princess. Young. Beautiful. The heir to the throne. You know what I mean? You know, the heir apparent here. You see what I'm saying? That does not paint the picture of some old, worn-out female person, does it? So every time, I'm a princess. I'm royalty. I'm beautiful. I mean, he changed what she was seeing on the inside and what she was saying on the outside. And y'all know the story with Abraham because you've heard me before. He took him outside the tent and he said, look at the stars. Can you count all those, Abraham? No. He says, well, that's the way your children are going to be, and I want you to get that vision. Don't be looking at your dead body. Don't be looking at the deadness of Sarah's womb. Look at the stars. So what he did, he changed what they were seeing. He changed what they were saying, and they got their miracle. With Tulsa, we're changing what we're seeing. We're changing what we're saying. And I'm telling you, the enemies, the spiritual enemies in this town are bred for us. And we are well able to take the land. Their defense has departed from them. Let us go up at once and possess it. Glory to God. Fred, take off. No. Hallelujah. Well, we are. We're well able to take it. I said last week, God believes Jesus is Lord over Tulsa. He believes the price has been paid for Tulsa. And He's waiting for a people that will possess the land. Hallelujah. Hello, people. One other one real quick. What if Noah had based his conclusions or his actions on fact instead of truth? God had revealed truth to Noah by telling him that all flesh was going to be destroyed by a great flood. And He wanted Noah to build an ark to save him and his family and the animals of the earth. Now, what were the facts concerning Noah? One, it had never rained on the earth before, ever. If y'all don't know that, you ought to go read it. It says the earth was watered by a mist. Up until that time, it had never rained. So that's fact number one Noah's faced with. Rain. It's never rained. Water comes from the earth. Up. That's all he knew. In fact, fact number two I have on here is Noah did not even know what rain was. Rain? Never seen rain. Fact number three. Well, the earth had never been destroyed by a flood before. Had it? He could have. I mean, that's a fact, isn't it? That he had to overcome. Four. How would you like this job? How could Noah possibly gather together all the animals of the earth? I mean, these were real facts that faced Noah. Do you understand that? And in five, well, nothing like this has ever been attempted before. Okay? Now, those were all facts facing Noah. But yet he acted on the truth, didn't he? Now some people might say, well, Gary, God didn't require Noah to confess the word in order to obtain those the promise. Like Norval. Is that right? Give me a break. A Noah break. How do you suppose Noah got all of his sons to help him build that ark? Do y'all have any idea the size of that ark? It's as big as some of our freighters today. It's a huge thing. It was a massive project. Noah had to convince them of the truth that they were going to have to help him by speaking to them the word that he had received from God. Not only that, have y'all ever noticed what the Bible calls Noah? See this, look at this in your own Bible. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. See, we just read that and it doesn't give us much detail. You have to meditate the whole Bible to find out the truth, I tell you. It doesn't give us much detail in the Genesis account about this. But Peter knew it. Good old Peter. I love Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person. Now notice, underlined on here, a preacher of righteousness. Noah was a preacher. And then God brought in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. By definition, a preacher of righteousness speaks God's word. What else would a preacher of righteousness be, for crying out loud? Do y'all realize that during all the time that it took Noah and his sons to build that ark, and it was a long time, I didn't look it up, 100 years or better, 120 years, to build that ark, do y'all realize Noah during all that time was preaching to the people, all the people, and he was saying to them, repent or perish. There's a flood coming. That's why we're building this ark. There's a flood coming. He was not only preaching righteousness by his action of building the ark, he was preaching the word to the people. See, God has always been a God of grace. He was extending, even while the ark was being prepared, God, through Noah, was extending his hand of mercy and grace to all these people. If you'll repent, you can get in the boat with Noah, and you can be saved. Why else would Noah have been preaching righteousness to them? But not one of them did. Not one. Only Noah and his family. A few little sentences here, and then we're done. You will never rise above the level of your confession. Boy, you need to get that. You will never rise above the level of your confession. I see people writing. Secondly, you have what you say. Dot, dot, dot. Good or evil. You have what you say. Dot, dot, dot. Good or evil. You ready for another one? Confession brings possession. Now just think again about Joshua and Caleb. They held to their confession for 40 years. Did it bring them possession? Absolutely. They possessed the land, didn't they? All right, here's another one. Truth changes fact. That's the title of this lesson. But it's a fact, Brother Gary. I've got a higher truth than your fact. This whole thing is about taking the truth of God's word and overruling your facts. Whatever facts the devil has sent your way, you take, is this helping you? You take the truth and you speak it, and it will change your facts. And then speak the truth and speak God's word. Did that help you? Hallelujah.